Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Thrive Church, a church passionate about moving people towards Jesus.
Awesome. That's fantastic. So our pastors are away. They send you their greetings. They send you their wishes and their blessing. And we're trusting that God gives them renewed vision for the year, renewed strength, and that they would come into the new year full of who Jesus is, ready to impart it into us. And so they do send their wishes, but everybody needs a break. So we're trusting that they're having a good break. And from us as a staff and from our pastors, we are praying that this year, Jesus guides you in his truth, that Jesus fills you with his hope and with his love, and that you thrive in every single area of your life. We pray that he will reveal himself more and more to you, and we pray that you have a deeper and a stronger revelation of who he is this year. And that is really our prayer for you as a church. And we're trusting that God does great things this year in the life of our church and in each and every one of us, that it is a significant year and that 2020 just propels us into our next. Amen. So can we pray together? Lord Jesus, I just want to thank you that we get to start a new year with our eyes fixed and focused on you. We get to start a new year in your presence, knowing that you are the one leading us, guiding us, and taking us to our next. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for your presence in our lives. And we're trusting you with 2020. And everybody said, amen. So church, you know, when I was in primary school, grade 2 at the time, which is now a grade 4 at the time, it was standard 2 back then, I got told that I needed to wear glasses. And so this was a disaster. You know, nowadays, wearing glasses and braces is actually a fashion statement. It's so cool. They got funky glasses, funky braces, different colors. It's a fashion thing. But back then, it was a disaster. And I thought that my world had come to an end. Anyway, first day of school, with my new glasses, first period, we landed up sitting in a kind of a group setting where desks were kind of facing each other, and there was 4 of us in this group setting. And I decided to be brave and pull out my glasses and put them on. And the whole group burst out laughing and started to call me 4 eyes, nerd, geek. I was absolutely devastated. But I kept them on for the period. And at the end of the period, I took them off, I packed them in my suitcase, and that was the end of it for primary school. I never put those glasses on again. So needless to say, I went through the whole of primary school completely blind. I couldn't see anything. I couldn't see a thing. I used to copy from the person next to me because that was the only thing I could see. There was no visibility on the blackboard or on the overhead projector. And as a result, my marks plummeted, I lost confidence, it was actually terrible. By the end of primary school, I begged my parents, I said, please, please can I get contact lenses, please. Eventually, under much duress, they agreed. And I went into high school with completely new vision. I could see the world around me. I could see leaves on trees. I could see things in the distance. I could see things close up. I suddenly knew what people looked like. It was absolutely fantastic. My life had changed. I'm not too sure why I didn't just put the glasses on and grin and bear it. But the thing is, 2020 vision is a beautiful thing. When you can see things with clarity, when you can see things with crystal clear vision, and when you can see things with sharpness, it's a beautiful thing. And so that is really what we're going to be chatting about today. We're going to be talking about what it means to have 2020 vision. But before we do that, I thought I would do something fun, but you're not allowed to tell on me, okay? No going back to our pastors and saying, we watched some comedy, we had some fun. You're not allowed to rat on me. But we're going to watch some Michael McIntyre. We're going to have a little bit of comedy and just a little bit of fun. So let's take it away.
How are you? Yeah. I was actually going to ask, who's got binoculars on their seats? It's not a good sign, is it?
Because some people see better than other people. You can see the people who see better than other people if they have glasses or don't have glasses. I have contact lenses. I'm short-sighted. Some people are long-sighted, which is that, well, short-sighted means you struggle to see in the distance. That, I think, is better. That's my one. Long-sighted people, they can see fine, actually quite well in the distance, but they can't see in their face. They need glasses to read. So right in front of their face, that must be very frustrating, because they can see fine over there. How do they live their lives? Do people come up to them like, I don't know you. Get out of my face. Seriously, who are you? Go on, keep walking. Come on, get away from me. I do not know you. Go on, off you go. Off you go. Keep going. Sorry, stop. I do know you. Come back. Just that I'm long-sighted. The same prescription for my glasses my whole life. I'm minus 3.25. And when I need glasses, I break them on a contact lens. I just get the same prescription. Haven't been back to the optician since I was a kid. I just go with that because it works. You know what I mean? It works. Also, I don't want to go to the optician. I don't know what it's like nowadays. But I remember it being so boring, so confusing. I didn't know quite what was going on. They would show you like a green circle and a red circle. And they'd give you this lens, which was the same on both sides. You could see it was the same. And they'd go, just focus on the green circle and the red circle. Is it clear on one or two? Is it clear on one or two? One, two, or one, two. I'm sorry, I don't know what you're asking me. I'm trying so hard to help you. It's the same, I think it's the same. Just focus on the green circle and the red circle. Is it clear on one or two? I don't know. Should we say one and move on with our life? Remotely fun is the letters, you know, with the eye chart for the letters. So they have a big letter and then they have rows of smaller letters. The big one is just there to start you off, you know, to get you into it, you know, to give you some confidence. Everyone can see that one. It's very rare. That one's there to test your literate. Seriously, I don't do letters. Can I have animals? So they can put that one there to just get you into it. And most people, they start off with confidence. H, they go, yeah, I'm off. Let's go. Let's do this. H, am I right or am I right? Okay, I'm seeing V, G, I'm getting a Q. I'm thinking B. You feel really good about yourself as you race through them, yeah? Y, these are the easy ones, baby. I'm onto this. And then when you get to one, you can't see it. This is the key moment of the eye test. This is the reason you booked the eye test. It's the reason the optician trained in optometry so that you can at this moment go, oh! No, not oh. That probably confuses things. You go, sup! I can't see. Help me. I can't see that one. Please, can you help me now? That's why I'm here. I could see the one before, which I think was an F, but this one, I'm completely in the dark. Will you give me glasses and help me? Help me, please. Only you can help me. It's why I've come to you. In this home of vision, help me now. Oh, but we don't do that. No, we choose to guess the letter. Which completely defeats the purpose of the night. It's not a game show. You don't win the glasses. But you're there, sort of straining, going, T. There's no point in straining. Just relax. It's not like you're going to get it right and go, it turns out, darling, I don't need glasses. I just need to squint and lean for the rest of my life. If I lean like that, I can see everything so much better. I got it. I got T, and I didn't even know it was a T. I'll drive. In history that someone has accidentally guessed all the letters correctly. You tell me they're letters in front of me. Okay, well, let's say B. Shall we say X? And the final, is there one more you say? Okay, let's go for G. You have 20/20 vision. Really? Who said that? Is there somebody else in the room with me?
20/20 vision. Can you relate? You know, often when we head into the new year, we head into the year with renewed vision, with hopeful eyes, with goals and dreams and resolutions. And we look, we look back at the past and we look back at the mistakes that we made and we vowed that we wouldn't make the same mistakes in the new year. We look back at the past and we learn from the tough seasons and we take from the difficult seasons and we celebrate the good seasons. And that's great, and we should do that. It's important for us to do that. But sometimes setting goals and making resolutions is not always enough. Because by the time mid-February comes, what happens? That gym contract that you signed for the very first time in January, you've used three times. The diet is a distant memory. Work has completely consumed you and you've steamrolled into the year. Family relationships are struggling because you've become so consumed with work. And that's kind of like how we roll from February into the rest of the year. So my hope this year is that we do things a little bit differently. Not by setting New Year's resolutions, not by setting goals and new vision, but really, what has been in my heart and what I would like to share with you today is that there are two things in life that derail our vision. And I'd like to share that with you. If we can get these two things right this year, I believe that by the end of 2020, we will be in a much better place than what we are at the beginning of 2020. These two things that derail our vision, these two things that take us off track, the two things that I believe that take us off track and derail our vision is the loss of hope and the lack of faith. You see, if we lose hope or if we lack faith, our vision is lost. In a struggling marriage, if you lose hope and if you lack faith, that marriage is doomed. If you're unemployed and you lose hope and you lack faith, the chance of you finding employment is not very strong. In a cancer diagnosis or in an illness, if you lose hope or if you lack faith, the chance of you actually pulling through that is very, very slim. In both big issues in life and small issues in life, if you lose hope and you lack faith, the chance of failure is so much greater. You see, church, we this year, in 2020, in order for us to keep our vision strong, we need to keep both faith and hope alive. And so that is what I would love to share with you today. Something that has been on my heart, something that God has been stirring inside of me. And the way that we can do this, the way that we can keep both faith and hope alive is based on two fundamental things. The first thing is hindsight, and the second thing is foresight. For us to have 2020 vision, we need to have both of these things present in our life. The definition for hindsight is this. Hindsight is the understanding of an event or situation only after it has happened. So, once you have experienced it, once you have felt it, once you have lived through it, once you have been through it, only then do you have the knowledge of hindsight. You're able to say, I've been through that. I've experienced it. Let me not do that again. Or let me do that again. That was a great thing. But the same is not true for foresight. Foresight's a bit like swimming through murky waters or navigating your way through a storm and you don't know what the road looks like ahead. Foresight, and the definition for that, is the ability to predict what will happen or be needed in the future. Foresight is where faith and hope are demonstrated and displayed for all to see. However, foresight is only made possible because of hindsight. And it helps us, hindsight helps us to propel into the future with great hope and with great faith. So I want to just give you the Bible's scripture on faith in Hebrews 11, and I'm going to read from two different versions. The NLT says, faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. In the Passion Translation, it says, now faith brings our hope into reality and becomes the foundation needed to acquire the things we long for. It is all the evidence required to prove what is still unseen. You see, when it comes to increasing our faith levels, when it comes to fighting the battles of life, we need both faith and hope, which are so important to us. But how do we get this? You know, it's so great for us to say, well, you need faith and you need hope. But how do we get this? How is it that we can stir this up in our lives? How is it that we can grow in our faith? How is it that we can grow in our hope? How is it that we can keep these things alive in our heart so that the future looks different than the present? Well, for me, I believe that the only way we can do that is through those two things, hindsight and foresight. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to share with you from a great man in the Bible. He was a prophet in the Bible, and his name was Elijah. And God used him in miraculous ways. God used him time and time again in so many ways. And we are going to take some of his life experiences and we're going to build on them to propel us into faith and into hope. So Elijah's story starts in 1 Kings 16. And it says, at the time, Israel was being governed by kings, but each king that ruled was evil and godless. And this troubled God greatly. So he sent the prophet Elijah to bring them out of the season. You see, God had brought a severe drought on the land. And at the time, Elijah was in the desert. But God provided for him. He provided a river for him to drink water from. He provided ravens for him to eat. And so right there in that moment, in the desert, Elijah saw God's provision. That was the first example of hope and faith that began to stir in Elijah's heart. After that, Elijah moved from there to the town of Zarephath. And he came across a widow, a very poor widow and her son. And he asked her to give him food. But she only had a small amount of oil and a small amount of flour, enough for her to kind of like last a day. But she agreed to make Elijah this meal. After that, the oil and the flour in that widow's home never ran dry until the rain came. And in that moment, Elijah saw God's abundance and he saw God's blessings that was poured into that widow's life. That was the second example of where Elijah began to see God's miraculous working. After that, the widow's son fell ill and died. And she called for Elijah and she said, I need you to come and pray for my son. Elijah came, prayed for the son, and the son was miraculously raised to life. Once again, we see God's miracle working power. You see, church, we serve a God of provision. We serve a God of abundance. We serve a miraculous God that performs miraculous miracles. And it was in those moments and with the hindsight of those three things that propelled Elijah into his next. That propelled Elijah into the next thing that God was calling him into. Without those things, he wasn't able to use the building blocks of those things to take him into his next. And so it is for us. We use the building blocks of the past. We use the building blocks of hindsight. We get to see God's provision. We get to see God's abundance. We get to see God's miracle working power in our lives. And that helps us to look at what he's done and propel us into our next. And that's the thing that keeps hope and keeps faith alive in our hearts. And so, back to the story of Elijah, we see that the next thing that God was asking him to do was to bring the people of Israel together and prove to them who this miracle God was. Prove to them that the God they were serving was not the living God, was not the true God, was not the one and only God. And so I'm going to read to you from 1 Kings 18. And it says, so Ahab summoned all the people of Israel and the prophets to Mount Carmel. Then Elijah stood in front of them and said, how much longer will you waver, hobbling between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, then follow him. But the people were completely silent. And so what they decided to do was they decided to build two altars. And Elijah said to them, okay, you pray to your God, and I will pray to my God. And if your God brings down fire from heaven and lights the altar, then we will worship him. But if my God brings down fire from heaven, we worship him. And so the people agreed. And the prophets began to pray. The prophets that served Baal began to pray. They prayed for hours and hours and hours, and nothing happened. Absolutely nothing happened. And when it was Elijah's turn to pray, what he did was he took water and he poured it all over that altar and he prayed to God, and fire came down from heaven. I'm going to read this to you. It says, O Lord, answer me. Answer me so these people will know that you, O Lord, are God and that you have brought them back yourself. Immediately the fire of the Lord flashed down from heaven and burned up the young bull, the wood, the stones, and the dust. It even licked up all the water in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell down on the ground and cried out, O Lord, he is God. Yes, the Lord is God. You see, right there in that moment, they realized that God was the one true living God. The people they were praying to previously, the Baal who they were praying to previously, was not living. He was not active. He was not miraculous. He was not working in their lives. And so Elijah prayed for that miracle. And the reason he could pray with that miracle was because he had the hindsight to know that previously God had come through for him and that he would come through for him again, which is so fantastic. After that, the next big thing that God was asking him to do was to pray for rain, because the drought needed to come to an end. And so the next assignment, Elijah already had faith and he already had hope inside of him. It was already alive. It was already active. It was already present in him. And so he knew he could step into his next with the confidence that he needed and the assurance that he needed. And so this is what happens. Elijah prays for rain. Then Elijah said to Ahab, go get something to eat and drink, for I hear a mighty rainstorm is coming. So Ahab went to eat and drink, but Elijah climbed to the top of Mount Carmel and bowed down low to the ground and prayed with his face between his knees. Then he said to his servant, go and look out toward the sea. The servant went and looked and then returned to Elijah and said, I don't see anything. Seven times Elijah told him to go back. Finally, the seventh time, his servant told him, I saw a little cloud about the size of a man's hand rising from the sea. Then Elijah shouted, hurry to Ahab and tell him, climb into your chariot and go back. If you don't hurry, the rain will stop you. And soon the sky was black with clouds. A heavy wind brought a terrific rainstorm, and Ahab left quickly for Jezreel. Then the Lord gave special strength to Elijah. He tucked his clothes into his belt and ran ahead of Ahab's chariot all the way to the entrance of Jezreel. Now, I don't know about you, church, but a cloud the size of a man's hand is not that hopeful. But for Elijah, it was hopeful because he knew the God that he was praying to. He knew the God that he was praying to was alive and living and active, and he was the God that was about to perform the miracle of rain. So with hindsight, we see each miracle that was performed, and Elijah's faith grew. And his hope became alive. And with foresight, with each prayer that he prayed, he believed that God would perform the miracle that was needed. And so, church, I don't know where you are today and where you are in your situation, but I want to encourage you to take the example of Elijah and draw from it. Allow that to be the thing that you go into 2020 with. You know, we serve a God that is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We serve a God that is living and active. Hebrews 13 says that. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so if he could perform miracles then, in Elijah's day, back then, if he could provide food for a widow, if he could provide rain, if he could send down fire from heaven, he can do it again. We can look with hindsight to what he did then, and we can press into the future and know that he will do it again. So if you're in a difficult season of your life, I want you to draw from what God has done for you previously. And I want you to allow that to stir up faith and hope inside of you so that you can press into the next season with that hope and with that faith. If you are struggling with health in your body, I want you to look at people around you where God has healed them, where God has restored healing to their body. And I want you to draw on faith and hope from them and apply it to your life and allow it to settle in your heart and use it to project you into the future. If you're struggling financially, you know, God is the God of provision. Allow things that have happened in the past where God has provided for you, where God has taken care of your needs, and allow that to propel you into 2020. You know, God has our back. He is there for us. And in 2019, we went through a fairly difficult season in our family. And things happened that we only realized afterwards, in hindsight, that God was taking care of the details, that he was in the small details as well as the big details. He was looking after us. He was caring for us. And it was only after we looked back that we saw his hand on our lives, that we saw his hand in the midst of the situation. And I could honestly just go to God and say, you know, God, you are in the small details as well as the big details. You are in the details even when we don't know them ourselves. You are taking care of us even when we don't see it. And so when I look at that and I see that God is working miracles even when we don't know it, it is so encouraging, and it builds our faith and it builds our hope to know that we serve the one true living God. So, church, as we go into 2020, I want you to keep this faith and keep this hope alive. because he provides for our needs. He abundantly blesses us in all seasons of life. He is a miracle-working God. He is the only true and living God. He answers prayers. He keeps his promises. He is faithful. He restores our broken hearts. He comforts us in difficult times. He makes a way where there is no way. He is working right in front of us, and he's working behind the scenes. And it's because of that, because of the fact that we can look back and say, God, you are working in our lives, that we can draw faith and we can draw hope from that. And we can move into 2020, no matter what situation faces us, no matter what difficulties come our way, no matter what curveballs get thrown at us, we know that we serve a God that is way more powerful than any of those things. And so we can stand there with faith and hope filled in our hearts and know that we get to do this with him. But church, you may be here today and you don't necessarily know or acknowledge God. You don't know who he is in your life. But I believe that by you being here today, God has been working behind the scenes, and he has brought you to this point. He has brought you here today, even though you didn't know it. He has been good, and he has been kind, and he has kept you to this point. But now, with foresight, you get to make the decision as to whether you get to commit to him for the rest of your life, whether you get to follow him, whether you get to choose to allow him to be your Lord and your Savior. This could be the best decision that you make today. And so don't leave this place today knowing that you've missed the opportunity to say, I want to serve the one true living God. And so as we go into a time of response now, can I ask for heads to be bowed and eyes to be closed? I want to give you the opportunity today to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you've never made that commitment to Jesus, if you've never made that commitment to say, I choose to serve you from this day forward, then in a few moments, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. And what this will do is it'll help me to identify who I'm praying for. And then together as a church, we will pray a prayer of salvation. I'm not going to ask you to stand up or do anything weird. It's just an indication by raising your hand so that I know who I'm praying for. The scripture about Elijah helps us to look with hindsight and see that God is faithful. He performs miracles, he comforts us, he provides for us, and he is the only true living God. With hindsight, we get to see that he continues to show up in our lives. So if you're sitting here today and you know that you don't have a relationship with God, but you want to have a relationship with him, then on the count of three, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. And by raising your hand, you are indicating and saying, I want to serve the living God that you are talking about. I know that there's many people that are sitting here this morning, and in your heart, you are saying, I need to know this God. So right now, where you are, hands all around the auditorium on the count of three. One, two, three. Why don't you just raise your hand right now where you are sitting? Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. Thank you. I see that hand on the balcony. Thank you. I see that hand. If you haven't yet responded, but you know that God is speaking to you, I want to just give you one last opportunity. I see that hand. Thank you. Thank you. I see that hand. God is working in people's lives today and in people's hearts today. best decision that you can make for 2020 is to choose to follow him. Thank you. I see that hand. Church, let's together in one voice, let's pray this prayer after me. Dear Jesus, thank you for loving me. Even when I've ignored you, even when I've gone my own way, I realize I need you in my life. I'm sorry for my past sins. I ask you to forgive me. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. As much as I know how, I want to follow you from now on. Please come into my life and make me a new person. I accept your gift of salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you have been blessed and helped by this message. For more information about our church, visit our website at www.thrivechurch.co.za.